بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation on the book of Tawheed, the beneficial sayings on the book of Tawheed, and we have reached number 18 in the series, so this will be class number 18. Here, the author, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said that it came in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, whoever says La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, wa kafara bima yu'badu min dunillah, and denies what is worshipped besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, haruma maluhu wa damuhu wa hisabuhu ala Allahi azza wa jal, then his wealth and blood are inviolable, and his affair is with Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. This is the hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, man qala la ilaha illallah, whoever says la ilaha illallah, meaning لا معبود حق إلا الله, none deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And then he said, وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and denies everything which is worshipped besides Allah. So he, in this case, the one who says لا إله إلا الله and rejects and denies the worship of anyone set as an object of worship besides Allah. And we say the worship, denies the worship, because Jesus, peace be upon him, alayhi salam, was worshipped besides Allah. But we believe in him. We don't deny him. We deny the worship offered to him. Also, we deny that he deserves to be worshipped. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verses 116 and 117. قال الله عز وجل, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍّ إِنْ كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. And remember when Allah will say on the day of resurrection, O Isa, O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say unto men, worship me and my mother as two gods besides Allah? He will say, glory be to you. It was not for me to say that, or to say what I had no right to say. Had I said such a thing, you would surely have known it. You know what is in my inner self, though I don't know what's in yours. Truly, you, only you, are the all-knower of all that is hidden and unseen. Never did I say to them aught except what you, Allah, did command me to say. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt amongst them. But when you took me up, you were the watcher over them, and you are a witness to all things. So this makes it clear that he never called for his worship. nor for the worship of his mother, or to make him as God, or to take him as God besides Allah. And in this hadith, in this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and denies what is the worship of what is worship besides Allah, this tells that it is not sufficient just to utter La ilaha illallah. That it is not sufficient just to utter La ilaha illallah. Rather, it's inevitable to deny worship of anything being set as an object of worship besides Allah. Also, one should deny every type of kufr, of disbelief. So whoever says La ilaha illallah and sees that the Christians and the Jews of today are on correct religion, then he is not a Muslim. I would repeat, whoever says La ilaha illallah and sees that the Christians and the Jews of today are on correct religion, he himself is not a Muslim. And anyone who says that the religions are thoughts for one to choose from them as he wants, himself is not a Muslim. Rather, the religions are creeds, and these creeds are rejected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these religions other than Islam are not accepted by Allah the Most High. And that's why one should not accept in his statements, one should not accept what may be stated by some al-fikr al-islami, Islamic thought, quote unquote, Islamic thought. Rather, one should say ad-din al-islami, the Islamic deen, or the Islamic creed. Because this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forth. It is permissible, on the other hand, to say an Islamic thinker, because this description is of the person, not of the deen of the religion which he is upon. And there's difference, obviously, between the two. Then the explanation of the matters that came under this chapter. This chapter contains important issues. The greatest and most important of them is the explanation of the Tawheed. Tafsir al-Tawheed, the explanation of Tawheed. This interpretation of Tawheed and the testimony of faith requires two matters. First, denial of divinity to anyone and or anything besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, negating that. Second, affirming divinity to Allah alone, meaning that He alone deserves to be worshipped. So therefore, Tawheed and the testimony of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, requires negation and affirmation in order for Tawheed to be established. Also, this chapter gave us the interpretation of the Shahada, of the testimony of faith, that it is uttering what certainly is believed by man in his heart, So the saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, means I utter by my tongue, expressing what is certainly established in my heart, and that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. This is the meaning of shahada, of testimony of faith. One of the matters that were also explained is Ayatul Isra, the verse from chapter 17:57. أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة. Those whom they call upon, by Jesus, son of Mary, Ezra, angels, etc. Desire for themselves means of access to their Lords, as to which of them should be nearest, and they hope for His mercy and fear His torment. Verily, the torment of your Lord is something to be afraid of. So this verse is a clear rejection and a clear response to the mushriks who call upon the righteous. And it made it clear that this is the major shirk, because dua, invocation, is worship. Allah said about dua, about the invocation in Surah Ghafir, in chapter 40, verse 41, ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. Invoke me, I'll respond to you. I will answer your invocation. Verily, those who disdain from worshipping me shall be admitted to hellfire. The verse number may be wrong. Yes, I'll correct it for you. This will be 60. Okay, yes, that's it. And your Lord said, invoke me, I will respond to your invocation. Verily, those who scorn my worship, meaning they don't invoke me and don't believe in my oneness, they will surely enter hell in humiliation. So this verse is a proof that the dua is ibadah, that invoking Allah is worship. So anyone who invokes other than Allah, dead or alive, he is a mushrik, committing major shirk. Now, invoking the created is of three types. Invoking the created is of three types. Calling upon the created is of three types. The first is to call upon someone concerning some matters which may be attainable through non-physical means. This form of invocation or call is not a type of worship. Rather, it is permissible. The second is to invoke a created being, dead or alive, asking him matters which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give or do. This is a major shirk, because in this way you have set him as a rival besides Allah, or as a rival to Allah, in that which only Allah is able to do. Like, for example, to say to some, calling upon someone, oh, such and such, dead or alive person, make that which is in my wife's belly or in my wife's womb a male. This is certainly forbidden, and this is from major shirk. Third, to invoke a dead being, a created, a person who is dead, who cannot respond to you through the perceivable means, the perceivable physical means. This is major shirk. Why? Because this person did not resort to invoke this created being, except that he believes that such and such person may have a hidden way of running the affairs in the universe. And this is a major shirk. Then, from the important matters discussed in this chapter was the verse in Surah or Ayat Bara'a, which is verse 9:31. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They, the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah, meaning by obeying them in things which they made lawful or unlawful according to their own desires, without being ordered by Allah. This is called the shirk of obedience. The shirk of obedience. And this is closely related to the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to the Tawheed, singling Allah alone in Lordship, more than Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, more than that of singling Allah alone in worship. Why? Because the judgment, whether it is universal, meaning al-hukm al-shar'i, the judicial ruling, whether it is a universal or legal one, belongs to Allah. And this is from His perfect Lordship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ash-Shura 42:10, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. He is the ruling judge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas in 28:70 said, وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And He is Allah, la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but He. His is all praise, and in the first and in the last, and for Him is the decision, and to Him shall you all be returned. Here the author, rahimahullah, considered the shirk of obedience to be from the major one, a major shirk. However, this requires details. This should be detailed. Our Shaykh rahimahullah said, this should be detailed, and he will discuss it when there will be the talk about obeying the leaders and the scholars. in what they make as permissible or vice versa. But the Shaykh rahimahullah basically is trying to detail here that the shirk of obedience is of two types: major and minor. Major, when the ruler or a scholar makes the unlawful lawful and vice versa, and people believe in that and obey them as such, making the lawful unlawful. This takes the person out of Islam. This is will be the major type which takes the person out of the fold of Islam. The other is that people may obey them based upon desires, without believing in the lawful as unlawful and vice versa, but follow them because of desires. Then this is of the lesser type. It is a sin, but this does not take the person out of the fold of Islam. And this is a very important matter, and this is where many have erred concerning the issue of obeying rulers in some legislations which may oppose the Sharia. Some who are inclined to the Khawarij type and Takfiri inclinations, Khawarij type of understanding or Khawarij understandings, they consider the obedience to such rulers automatically takes the person out of the fold of Islam. And that's why they don't even mind killing Muslims who work for governments, because they say that this obedience is major shirk of obedience. And you have seen the difference now. The obedience is of two types. One was of the major type, the major shirk, that takes the person out of the fold of Islam, and we explained what it means. The other is not. And these mix the two, being the same, and concluded what they have concluded, and acted accordingly, shedding the blood of innocent Muslims. And this also gives you how the issue of knowledge is so important, and how to take from the reliable scholars who understand these major matters in accordance with the way of the righteous predecessors, that this is the right and safe way. Then we go back to the Shaykh's explanation, rahimahullah. And he said, from the matters discussed in this chapter is the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam to the disbelievers, when he declared himself innocent of what they worshipped. And this verse which he cited was in 42, 26 and 27. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Verily I am innocent of what you worship except him who did create me. This should be in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43, 26, 27. And remember when Abraham said to his father and his people, "Verily I am innocent of what you worship except him, Allah, who did create me, and verily he will guide me." So he excluded Allah from what they, from the worship they offer to other than him. So he excluded Allah and excluded those worship besides Allah, excluded Allah from those worship besides Allah. So this indicates that Tawheed requires negation and affirmation, disassociation from other than Allah, and having sincere worship to Allah alone. This innocent declaration and disassociation by Ibrahim is an explanation and interpretation of the Shahada of La ilaha illallah. And that's why he said, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. SubhanAllah. MashaAllah, 43:28. And he made this kalima, of Tawheed, a word lasting among his offspring, that they may turn back to repent to Allah and receive admonition. So the meaning, "I am innocent of what you worship except me," is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And from the matters discussed, is the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 167. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will not get out from the fire. Why? Because they loved those rivals which they set besides Allah. They loved them as they loved Allah. So, therefore, this love was considered shirk. If someone loves anything or anyone besides Allah, like his love of Allah, so he will commit the shirk in love, shirkul mahabba. And therefore, one's love must be pure and sincere to Allah, associating no one in this love. Even the love of the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had it not been that he is a messenger, then there is no obligation in obeying him, nor in loving him, except that we love him as a believer, like any other believer. Now, it's not forbidden for someone to love someone other than Allah. Rather, it is allowable for him to love anything which is allowable to be loved, like the children, his wife. But he shouldn't make this love like his love of Allah, the same. Then how about the one who loves the false deity more than he loves Allah? How about the one who loves none other than his false deity and has no love for Allah? So, we are talking about four categories. First, concerning love. The first, that the person loves Allah more than any other being or thing. This is Tawheed. This is Tawheed. The second, that he loves other than Allah as he loves Allah. This is shirk. The third, that the person loves other than Allah more than he loves Allah. And this is worse than the one before. The fourth, that he loves other than Allah and he has no love whatsoever to Allah in his heart. This is the most evil of all. And love has causes and has matters that are linked and dependable upon it. And love differs in accordance with the matters that depend upon it. Even the type of love may differ. Here a person loves his father or loves his child, and there is a difference between the two. He loves Allah and he loves his children, and there is a difference between the two. So all the matters of the inward self comes from the love and pleasure and grief and sorrow differ in accordance or in what they depend upon. Then he mentioned the author, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man qala la ilaha illallah," whoever says la ilaha illallah and rejects all other things that are worshipped besides Allah, so it's inevitable to reject the taghut, all false deities, and to believe in Allah. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah 256 فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever disbelieves in taghut, all false deities, and believes in Allah, then has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah is all healer, all knower. Now the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and he rejects the worship of things or others taken as objects of worship besides Allah, meaning kafara bil asnam, rejects all worship to idols and or images, and rejects that its worship is deserving. So it is not sufficient to say la ilaha illallah. It is not sufficient to say la ilaha illallah and I don't worship an idol. This is not sufficient. Listen carefully please. It is not sufficient to say la ilaha illallah wa la a'budu sanama, and I don't worship an idol. Rather, it's inevitable for him to say al-asnamu allati tu'badu min dunillah akfuru biha wa bi'ibadatiha. The idols and or images, whatever, meaning, is worship. That is worship. Besides Allah, I reject it and reject its worship. Also, it is not sufficient for him to say, La ilaha illallah, wa la a'budu lat. La ilaha illallah, and I don't worship the lat. This lat is one of the idols of Quraysh, for example. Rather, he should say, he must reject it and say, إِنَّ عِبَادَتَهَا لَيْسَتْ بِحَقِّ. Its worship is not true. It does not deserve worship. Otherwise, he will be attesting to the kufr, to disbelief. So therefore, man radiya deen al-Nasara, anyone who accepts the religion of the Christians as a religion, يدينون الله به is a religion taken by them for worshipping Allah, then he is a kafir. Because if he equates a religion other than Islam with Islam, then he is belying the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Imran in 385, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and then hereafter he will be one of the losers. And thus he becomes a kafir. And in this we know the danger that affected the Muslims who are mixing with the Christians, while the Christians calling for their religion morning and evening, morning, day and night, and Muslims doing nothing. Rather, some of the Muslims who don't really know what Islam is all about soften towards the Christians. And we remember the saying of Allah, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ, as in Surah Al-Qalam 68, verse 9. They wish that you should compromise with them, so they too would compromise with you. So those, some of the Muslims who don't know what Islam is about, they soften towards the Christians, meaning they compromise matters of their deen. And this is from the influence of such mixing. And this is one of the afflictions that is affecting the Muslims nowadays, and which has led them to humiliation. This ends the explanation of this chapter. And inshallah ta'ala, in the next class, we'll move to another chapter, inshallah. And the next chapter will be to wear a ring, halaqa, twine, or anything similar to them for preventing or lifting of harm or affliction, that this is an act of shirk. That will be the topic, inshallah ta'ala. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.